Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining this evening. I know this class was supposed to happen many hours ago. As they say, stuff happens. So, Baruch Hashem, here we are, and we're going to learn about inside and outside. We've been learning about the sacred duty that was thrust upon the Levite tribe, the honor guard of the Beis HaMikdash. As we learned, this is all about the concept of maintaining a sense of mindfulness, a sense of profound dignity for the Beis HaMikdash. So the Kohanim and the Levites, both of whom comprise the Shevet or tribe of Levi, were given this responsibility. And we learned that it's not only a positive mitzvah, but it's also a negative mitzvah. Now we're going to continue studying from the text of Hilchot Beit HaBechira, the laws of God's chosen home, the 8th chapter, Halacha Dalad, the 4th paragraph. The Rambam now goes into the specifics. So, how many guards were there? Where did they stand guard? What positions did they assume? How many positions were assumed? We're going to begin to flesh in the details. To quote the actual words of the Rambam, Mitzvat Shmirato, the mitzvah, the mandate, the commandment of this watch, Sheyihiyu HaKohanim Shomrim Mibefnim V'Halaviyim Mibachutz, that the Kohen clan should be on the inside and the Levite clan should stand guard on the outside. Now, these are very broad terms. What does the Rambam mean when he says inside and outside? Were they both standing guard at the same place, one inside and one outside? Were the Kohanim standing guard at the epicenter of the Beit HaMikdash, inside its sacred scrimmage, with the Levites standing guard in the outer arena, past the line of sacred scrimmage? How do we understand inside and outside? The Rambam isn't clear, at least not explicit. So the interesting thing is that the Kesef Mishnah comments on this very halacha, and he says, and I quote, he says, this halacha of the Rambam, Levi'im inside, Kohanim inside, and Levi'im outside, b'sifri parshat Korach. Take a look in the Sifri. That's the Medrash halacha that accompanies the fourth book of the Torah. And there in Parshas Korach you'll see. So the Sifri says, Va'ata uvanecho itach, you and your sons, before Ohel Moed, the tent of meeting, HaKohanim mibefnim, uLevi'im mibachutz. So this is where the Rambam gets his verbiage from, his inside and outside. It's exactly what the Sifri says. Kohanim inside, Levi'im outside. Ata omer HaKohanim mibefnim v'HaLevi'im mibachutz. Are you saying that the Kohanim are on the inside and the Levites are on the outside? Or Elu v'Elu mibefnim? They're both on the inside, but the Kohanim are kind of the brides and the Levites are the bridesmaids. They're only proverbially on the outside, an adjunct to the priests. So the Sifri says, Ma Talmud Lomar, what does the verse teach us? Ato v'necho itoch lufnei ohel moed, you and your children before the ohel moed, HaKohanim mibefnim, V'Halaviyim mibachutz. So, it sounds like the Kohanim are lifnei ohel moed, that the Kohanim are at the inner sanctum of the Beis HaMikdash, before the actual tent of meeting, which is a euphemism for the Heichal, for the building of the Beis HaMikdash itself. And the Levim are at a more distant, kind of the standing guard at the outer area or line of scrimmage. That's what it sounds like from the Sifri. And one could argue that perhaps this is what the Rambam means. Well, it's not so simple, because the Rambam is going to specifically spell out where the Kohanim are and where the Levites are. And it turns out, as the Mishnah LeMelech clearly delineates, that the area that the Kohanim occupied was not technically sacred. And we even know of Kohanim who are sleeping. Can't sleep in sacred scrimmage. Which leads us to the conclusion that the inside and outside cannot simply mean the sacred or inner sanctum versus the non-sacred or pedestrian, more mundane areas of the Beis HaMikdash. So what then does it mean? What is the understanding of inside and outside? Now, the Sifri is vague. The Sifri doesn't tell us where the Kohanim or the Levites take up their positions, but the Rambam does. And once we'll see later how the Rambam describes where they take up their positions, you will see that it is patently unreasonable to suggest that the Kohanim are actually what we would call in the inner area, the inner scrimmage of holiness. So, the Minchas Chinuch, in his commentary on the Sefer HaChinuch, which oftentimes is based upon the Rambam, he says, on the words, Ato vanecha itoch lefnei ohel moed, here the Sefer HaChinuch essentially repeats verbatim the words of the Sifri. So the Minchas Chinuch explains, Dover zeh, this business of inside and outside, that's what we're talking about. He says, Lav bifnim ma de kodesh bekedushat ha'azara. It does not mean that the Kohanim stood guard in sacred scrimmage area. The mekomot shahoye shomrim, because the Minchas Chinuch says, the areas that the Kohanim occupied, performing this duty of the sacred watch, lo haya kedoshim bikdushat azara, did not bear or carry the designation of sacred ground that applies to the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Because we're soon going to see these areas that the Rambam will identify as the positions of the Kohanim, Beis Avtinot, Beis Hanitzot, and you'll see that we're referring to an upper level. We're referring to a rooftop. And there's this idea that Gagin, Va'aliot, lo nitkachu, that when it comes to the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, second level platforms, like upper levels or rooftops, were not sanctified. We actually talked about this in Courtyard by the Mikdash, I don't know, about 15 episodes ago. The Minchas Chinuch says, this is not my idea. It is actually found in the commentary on Masechet Tamid, which is called the Mefarash, an unidentified sage from the time of the Rishonim, the medieval sages. And he says over there clear where they would stand. What then is the meaning of inside or outside? Kohanim inside, Levim outside. So the Minchas Chinuch says, and we would have to come to the conclusion that this is the opinion of the Rambam, Bifnim hainu b'chadarim, the Kohanim were within structures or buildings. Specific, three buildings, Avtinus, Nitzotz, Beis HaMikdash. They're called batim, they're called chambers. They were on the inside. V'yoshvim sham. He says the Kohanim were not standing at attention. They were not palace guards standing erect they were there, which lends us to the understanding that it's about mindfulness. Somebody is there paying attention to the Beis HaMikdash. The Halaviyah Mibachutz, the Levites are on the outside. Outside means quite literally, below Chadarim. They didn't have a guardhouse, and they didn't have a roof over their heads. And they weren't in a building. They were standing outside. Ve'ein ha'pirush chutz la'azara. It doesn't mean outside of the courtyard. It means outside, literally, under the heavens. Why is this? Says the Minchas Chinuch, the HaTorah gozro, because the Torah decrees. The HaKohanim yihiyu b'mala. That the Kohanim, freely translated, the temple priests, have to be held in the highest esteem. They occupy a higher rung in this sacred society. Halaviyim, shomrim ala sha'orim. The Levites, they stand guard or perform the watch at the gates, ala pinot, at the outer corners, in a manner that is adjunct to Kohanim, but not because it's in the ground is sacred or not. They occupy a different posture. It's a different way. The Kohanim are sitting. They're in a relaxed position. They're indoors. The Levites are standing, and they're outdoors. It doesn't matter if they're in the sacred scrimmage or out of the sacred scrimmage. He says, Afim shomrim ba'azara atzma, even if they're in the azara, the kodesh yoser, they might even be in a holier place because some of the Levim were inside the azara. And that could have been sacred ground. Whereas the Kohen would be in the upper level of Beit HaMoked, which is not considered to be sacred ground. Mikol mokei meni b'derech kovedu mailo. They weren't there in a relaxed or honorable, dignified manner. They were there as foot soldiers. And that's how Levites have to be. And the Kohanim, Amesharsim, they're on the inside, so to speak. So therefore, they were inside. The Minchas Chinuch later on emphasizes, Gam HaKohanim HaYeshomrim B'mokom D'lo Nitkadesh. Both the Levites and the Kohanim were guarding places that were actually not sacred ground. But Bifnim is Bechadorim. It means indoors. It means Derech Kavod. Ubachutz means outside. And that way the Levites appear secondary. Now it's interesting. The Minchas Chinuch says, could they sleep? They had to be there. Could they sleep? He says, it seems to me probably not. Venota letzad ze de eno yeshenim. Probably they weren't sleeping. That wouldn't be an honorable thing. So they probably had to be up. But the Kohanim could relax, whereas the Levites had to stand at attention. So that kind of clears this up. This is that Minchas Chinuch kind of explains, I think, it seems to me, despite the fact that the Sifri seems to use a language which could be understood either way, and I think that the Malbim actually understands the Sifri that way, and he says the Gemara differs, but the Kesef Mishnah says the Rambam is basing his ruling on the words of the Sifri, and the Minchas Chinuch is unequivocal in saying it has to mean indoors and outdoors, not inside and outside the area of sacred scrimmage. So now moving right along, the Kohanim are indoors, literally. The Levites are outdoors, quite literally. And here the Rambam says something quite remarkable. Varbo ve'esrim eida. 24 congregations shomrim. The word eida means a congregation. 24 congregations. Congregations? That sounds like a lot of people. That's what he says. Congregations with Bechol Laila Tamid every night. And they stood Ba'arba Ve'esrim Makom in 24 different locations. So there were 24 congregations or congregating of Kohanim and Levim. The Rambam doesn't give us a number. However, it is noteworthy that the Rambam, quoting the Gemara Meseches Megillah that expounds the verses in the Torah that speak about the Meraglim, the scouts who were sent to the land of Eretz Yisrael to reconnoiter Israel. And this we see in the Gemara Megillah on page 23. So the Rambam says it in halachic prose, and that's very important because the Rambam doesn't repeat himself anywhere in the book of Mishneh Torah. If he clarified something, then he assumes you're reading the book in order, and if he clarified a term prior, he will not clarify the term again. It's eminently reasonable to assume that if the Rambam uses the word Eida in the book of Avodah, which is the eighth book of Mishneh Torah, and he already clarified the meaning of Eida in the second book of Mishneh Torah, which is called Ahava, that the Rambam is relying on what he wrote previously. What did he write? In the eighth chapter of the Laws of Prayer, in the fifth halacha, the second half reads, Kol asara mi Yisrael heima nikraim Eida. A congregation is always a minimum of 10. How do we know this? Because there is an explicit verse. It's found in the book of Numbers, chapter 14, verse 27, which is the middle of Parshat Shlach. And God says to Moshe, Ad matai le'eda hara hazot. How much longer do I have to be putting up to this bad, this wicked congregation? How big was this congregation? V'hoyu asara. There was 10. Because there were only 12 scouts sent. And Hare, Yotzu, Yehoshua, V'kolev, Joshua, and Caleb were not included in those who suggested that the Jewish people should not go into the land of Israel. And God says, how much longer do I have to deal with this wicked congregation? Now, never does the Torah use the word Eida or congregation for less than 10. And from this we understand that 10 can already be considered an Eida. Now, was there more than 10 Levites or more than 10 Kohanim? Possibly. But there was a minimum of 10. And it makes perfect sense to suggest that if the Rambam already told us what Eida means previously, he's not going to explain himself again. And he clearly uses the words Eida. I found in the Sefer HaChinuch, he says the same thing, Midini HaMitzvah, from the rules of this mitzvah. Our sages say that in 24 places they would guard all night. Barba v'esri makomot. The Kohanim in 3 places. And the Levites in 21 places, which is exactly what the Rambam is about to tell us. However, the Sefer HaChinuch's language is Arba v'esrim Eida, 24 congregations. So typically when people think of this mitzvah, they assume that a solitary Kohen or a solitary Levi was standing there. And to be sure, the Aruch HaShulchan HaAsid, quoting or citing prior sources, actually suggests that. However, it is very clear in the Rambam and in the book of Chinuch, now we speak about an Eida. So if you have 24 congregations, and that's a minimum of 24 people, that means there was 240 people always in the Beis HaMikdash, minimum. There was never a time when there wasn't more, less than 240 people that were gathered there to be mindful and guard, if you will, the dignity of the Beis HaMikdash. That's significant. The building was never empty. So where were they? Now that we've established that there are 24 Eida, 24 congregations, the Rambam tells us they were barbo ve'esrim mokoim, in 24 different locations. Hakohanim bishlosha mekomot. The Kohanim were in 3 places. Ve'alevim be'echad ve'esrim mokom. And the Levites were in 21 places. Now, this is very interesting because the Mishnah LeMelech really goes to town here. And he says that you must understand that although there are some who maintain that the Kohanim and Levium were in the same place, the Kohanim being indoors and the Levites being outdoors in the same location, which is the opinion of the Sefer Mitzvahs Gadol the Smag, the Rambam clearly rejects this. So the inside and the outside has nothing to do with the location
It's not an inside and outside of a location, even though the Rambam maintains that inside is inside the building and outside is outside the building. He says that's in the unique locations. When in the location of the Kohanim, it was inside. In the separate location of the Levim, it was outside. And the Mishnah LeMelech actually proves this from the Gemara. He says, the Gemara asks a question. It says that there were Levim on five gates, five Sha'arei Azara. So the Gemara says, five, but there are seven Sha'arei Azara. There are seven gates. And Abaya answers, yeah, of course there are seven gates, but two of those gates were occupied by Kohanim. The Mefarish explains that when we have a Levi on site, we don't need a Kohen on site. When we have a Kohen on site, we don't need a Levi on site. And as such, the 24 locations are 24 unique locations. If it's a Kohen location, it's indoors. If it's a Levi location, it's outdoors. The Mishnah HaMelech says, V'chein hu das Rabbeinu. This is the opinion of the Rambam. The Rambam says every night they were in 24 places, the Kohanim in 3 places, and the Levites in 21 places, and there is no mention of doubling Kohanim and Levim in the same place. So the Mishnah LeMelech is very, very forthright about this. It's a marvelous Mishnah LeMelech, a very long rumination where he introduces 3 separate opinions. He introduces us to the opinion of the Sefer Mitzvahs Gadol of the Smag. The Smag says that there were 24 locations that they stood guard, and in 3 of them there were Kohanim and Levim, and the 21 was only Levim. But that's not the Shita, the opinion of the Rambam. And the Mishnah LeMelech elaborates and explains this with numerous proofs. And then he says that there is also Piske, rulings of the Tosfos. And the Tosfos has a different suggestion altogether. Tosfos says that actually there was only 21 locations where there was watch. 3 of the locations had Kohanim and Levim, and the other 18 had only Levim. But when you had the 3 locations where there was Kohanim on the inside, Levim on the outside, so it's the same location, meaning the same area, but one was on the inside, one was on the outside, so it's like 2 places or 2 positions within the same place. And therefore, according to the Tosfos, there was actually only 21 places that were being watched. But it's clear that the Rambam, the Mishnah LeMelech, is very, very clear about his position, and he reiterates it again. I'll read to you. He says, "The Rabbeinu Svidalei, our master, the Rambam, holds without a question when it comes to the mitzvah of Shmira, of guarding the Beis HaMikdash, that a Kohanim Yushomrim b'Aliyah v'Alim v'Yilamata. The Kohanim are an literally uplifted place physically on an upper level, and the Levim are down below, and it's separate places. And the idea of v'ilvucha alecha, that they will be adjunct to you, doesn't mean literally in this place the Kohanim are on the upper level and the Levim are adjunct at the same location. It means that in their different locations, the Levim occupied a lower or less prominent place than the Kohanim." Which is very much along the lines of what we read earlier from the Minchas Chinuch. It's a beautiful Mishnah LeMelech, and it's worthy of study, as they say, as its own. And so, in closing, for the Rambam's position, the Rambam's view, there was a sum total of 24 guard positions. Where do we get this from? So here's where it gets really interesting. The idea of 24 positions, it seems pretty clear, is halacha l'Moshe Misinai. Now, with regard to the Kohanim being in 3 locations, in a previous episode, I shared with you the way the Gemara analyzes the verses in Parshat Korach. And the Gemara, the Talmud, offered 2 explanations why the Kohanim, the priests, would be in 3 locations. The first explanation was that this command to keep watch over the sanctuary was given to Aaron and his sons, Aaron, Elazar, Itamar. That's only 3 people. Nadav and Avihu were gone. And then the Gemara introduces another, that in the same verse, the word keep watch shows up 3 times in different tenses. And because it says that they should be keeping watch or guard three times, that the conclusion is that the Kohanim have to be in three different places. But what about the other 21 places, or the sum total of 24 places? So this seems that it is halacha l'Moshe miSinai. And it is based also or buttressed by a verse in the book of Chronicles. So the idea of halacha l'Moshe miSinai is kind of floated by the Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch brings proofs that this would actually be halacha l'Moshe miSinai. But he says if you take a look in the book of Chronicles where it describes David HaMelech's precursor to the Beis HaMikdash, and there in the 26th chapter of Chronicles 1, he speaks about gatekeepers and guards and judges and officers. So over there in verse 17, it says, L'mizrach halavim shisha, to the east. So this is talking about the division of the watches, and they're spoken about of all four directions. On the east, the Levites were divided into six watches. Litzfona, on the north, there were arba, four watches. Linegma, on the south. So it says, L'yom arba. There were, for per day, there were four watches. Or every day, all day. And on the storehouses, la sufim, shnayim, shnayim, two for each. And then it says, lefarbor, which is some kind of a pavilion, or other area that extended. On the marav, in the west, there were arbo, lemsila, and shnayim, leparvor. There were four for the peninsula or area that jutted out on the path, and two at the extension. So if you do the math, you end up with a sum total of, you guessed it, 24. Now, of course, David HaMelech's verse, this verse talking about David HaMelech's temple, if you will, or area where David HaMelech was, obviously could not be describing the Beis HaMikdash. This is an earlier iteration. So this is true. This is true. The Beis HaMikdash did not exist in David HaMelech's time. And it wasn't the Beis HaMikdash itself. It was just the Ark that was brought to Yerushalayim before the Beis HaMikdash was built. Yet, what we're understanding from this verse is that there was a basic pattern established. And just as in the time of David HaMelech, there were 24 locations, so it was for posterity. Exactly where they would have stood guard or what the positions were in the first Beis HaMikdash, we don't know, because we have scant, if any, details of the structure of the first Beit HaMikdash. But we have rich details of the second Beit HaMikdash, and we've been learning about them during the course of this series. And so in our next episode, we're going to talk about precisely where the Kohanim stood watch. And then when we finish identifying the Kohanim's positions, then we'll move on to understand where the Levites were. And that, my dear friends, is the story of inside or outside, as the Rambam views it in the performance of this sacred and holy mitzvah, which is all about mindfulness. And I'm going to leave you with this. So the Rebbe asks a very interesting question. If it's about mindfulness, we shouldn't neglect the Beis HaMikdash, which we described in great detail in previous episodes. So the Rebbe says, if so, why did you need to have 24 locations? And you could extend the question, why do you need to have a minion? 10 people in each place. So actually, with regard to the business of having 10 in each place, like in Ada, I saw something very interesting brought down in the name of, where did I see this? A sefer called Ezrat Kohanim, that it was, we know when there's 10 people, there's an Ada, there's a Shechina. And so each of this mindfulness was not just an individual mindfulness, it was a congregational mindfulness. It was a Shechina mindfulness, because we know Akol Beis Asara, whenever you have 10 Jewish people coming together, Shechinta Shari, the Shechina is there. So this is like a mindfulness that marshals the spiritual power of the people. The Rebbe says, if you need a minion, okay, so say I have a minion. You needed 24 minyanim on 24 different locations. If the guards were for the purpose of guarding the doors and making sure no robbers come in, okay, then it makes sense. You have to guard all the doors. You have to make sure that all areas are covered. But as we explained, that is not the purpose of this watch. So what do you need to have so many people there? So the Rebbe says a very interesting thing. We have a principle Berov Am Hadrat Melech. When there's crowds, it increases the glory of the king. So it turns out that whilst the importance of mindfulness could perhaps have been achieved or accomplished with a much smaller group of people, when you had significant amounts of people and everywhere you walked or went in the Beis HaMikdash, you went a couple of yards or a dozen yards, and you could see another congregation. And you came closer into the Beis HaMikdash, and you knew that there was Kohanim that were occupying certain places, groups of Kohanim. So this is not only about simple mindfulness, but it added. It made it richer, more impressive. It made it more glorious, if you will. And this is the idea of Barov Am Hadrat Melech. So true, for the bare minimum, even a few guards or one minion in one place could have achieved it. But because of this concept of Barov Am Hadrat Melech, because you want a mitzvah to be done in the most beautiful way, and because the Beis HaMikdash is to be given the greatest glory and esteem, that's the reason that there were so many people who were marshaled to serve in this honor guard. And you know, when you think about it, most people tend to think that the honor guard was like one individual. If you think about it, he had these groups. And it doesn't say there was a limit. It's possible that many Levites would volunteer, and they would spend the night maybe studying Torah, maybe saying Kaddish on occasion. They were doing holy things. The Levites were standing, the Kohanim were sitting. I'm sure they weren't just looking at the walls. And they were doing these things in a group fashion. It created a vibrancy. It was like an energy. And that vibrancy and that energy was something that pulsated continuously in the Beis HaMikdash all day, without a question. The Kohanim were serving, and there was a lot to do. And there were many pilgrims, many visitors who came on a regular basis. And here we're being told that in the evening, when everybody went to sleep, when Jerusalem was quiet, the Beis HaMikdash maintained a place of vibrancy, of activity, and of a presence of constant human beings, special people, engaged in pursuit of higher consciousness and spirituality. And this kind of puts it all in a different light. And as mentioned many times, when we talk about the Beis HaMikdash, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash physically, but the Rebbe said this very idea of us talking about the Beis HaMikdash achieves on some level that very same mindfulness. I also shared with you that the Rebbe once identified the numbers that show up here, the 3 and the 21, as being uniquely linked to the period which we annually commemorate the destruction of and yearn for, the third and perfect Beis HaMikdash, which is 3 weeks of mourning, and that's comprised of 21 days. May our observance of this unique period on the Jewish calendar, and may our efforts to learn more about and to think of Hashem's holy home accelerate the process of its arrival. May we be zoche, may we merit to meet in the third Beis HaMikdash. B'mheira ubi amenu, amen. Thank you so much for joining. Hashem should bless you, and I look forward to seeing you back again soon.